quello
perché rimane stare di questi iodi che vincano il primo semestre anche navi che si inchiudono più dopo fare il come next study to produce six action programs that are shown on the left and that's important part to note in that table as well as the main objectives for catchment on the top in blue. But I will move on to quickly. You'll see there on the top right it was highlighted the strategic action programs. That's what comes from the strategy, from the catchment management strategy. That's what the stakeholders say they want. Our own objectives are on the left there, which is the RCMA's objectives, and then the government's priorities and water affairs priorities are on the right. So they all intermingle. You're not supposed to read this. You would like to know that in our strategic plan we've indicated the main attributes of the area, the threats in the area and the context in which this plan has been written. So you can read it if you've got very good magnifying glasses with you. But I just put them there for your interest afterwards. This is in the strategic plan a key focus. It's a simple statement basically, is to implement our newly delegated functions while ensuring that we continue with our initial functions through a strategic adaptive management framework to meet government outcomes. Okay. This is an example of what the tables look like. Most of our strategic plan is in a tabular format, and this is the first page. If you are reading through that document, how it looks like. You'll see in light blue at the top is the government priority. So we put the tables per government priority and then per strategic objective of the RCMA in dark blue there. That would be objective one. And then for objective one, strategic action program from the catchment management strategy one. And then the valid outputs and indicators for that. And then we would go through all the relevant action programs for each objective and then roll over to the next government priority. So that's how the tables are laid out. But I'm not going to go through the tables. I'm going to go just highlight the main functions that are in those tables. This is our organizational environment. It's the same as what the chair presented earlier, just with a bit more detail. The red are the posts that we plan on appointing in the new year. And the blue is posts that are coming from Water Affairs in the transfer process that we are still waiting for. Black is already appointed people, and white is people that will be appointed in the new year. But take note, that whole structure is currently under review. To reduce costs and to improve efficiency along with the remuneration policy. The posts themselves probably won't change, but the structure is looking like it's changed somewhat. Now I'm going to go through the key outputs in the strategic plan for the next 5 years. Management and governance is standard sort of outputs. I'm not going to concentrate on them. We have to do our reporting and our strategic planning, and we have to meet our legislative requirements in that respect, and we will do so. Along with marketing and communication. Water resource planning and operations is the one key division. Under there, the main output is the catchment management strategy. I already mentioned it was approved for establishment early this year. We have to go through the public comment process now, which we will do, and then implement thereafter. The only note there is that the National Water Resource Strategy of Water Affairs has been done, which is currently in progress, the condition from the Minister is that we will then revise our catchment management strategy once that has been finalised. Okay, the verification of existing law for water use is a key program that's already in progress and will continue during the year for completion in mid next year. Access to the Water Affairs Registration Management System, WAMS, will occur during that stage, and after which we will be able to capture all the data from that project into the Water Affairs System. Once that's finished, the verification and the water allocation plan are both part of the National Water Allocation Reform Program. We will commence with the water allocation plan for the catchment. I cannot commence it until the verification is done because we need good information of water use in the area. Otherwise, the allocation plan and the modeling is done will come up with rubbish in, rubbish out, if that's that. And then compulsory licensing will be finalised during the framework of the 5-year plan. The classification of rivers, which which is a water phase project, will also be done in collaboration with this plant. So we make sure that we're not duplicating our efforts there. We are collaborating with water phase and we'll continue to do so. Integrated planning and operations of river systems is a key function of ours. We will continue on the Crocodile River, where it's already set up, the operations and the committee. We are currently expanding that into the Carp River catchment, and the operating rules will probably be finalized during next year. And the current project of water affairs on the Sabi Sand project will also be finalized during this strategic planning period, and the RTMA will then take over the implementation of those operating rules in the Sabi. Once that's done, we're also looking at expanding into the White River sub-catchment. All of that will basically, after this period, we will be having detailed operating rules in the entire catchment. The Komati is handled by the COBWA and their operating rules, which we did partake. Stakeholder-centered progressive implementation of the reserve. That's the ecological reserve and the basic human needs reserve. It's directly linked to the operation of the river systems mentioned above, and as they come online, the reserve starts getting implemented as well. It has been determined by Water Affairs in all cases. It just has to be implemented with these operating laws that are being developed. We also have to collect a lot of data for our functions. We are busy doing that. Rainfall data loggers and river flow data loggers to support those operations. That process has started with about 30 river loggers installed and about 15 rainfall loggers installed over and above what is already in place. And we will be going live with a website for all stakeholders to be able to see live information and all of that during 2013, or actually should be this year still. And the resource protection and waste, which is basically water quality, we are currently monitoring the water affairs monitoring site. We've taken over that, 126 sites that we monitor. We've been looking at implementing new working procedures and reviewing those sites, possibly expanding them. And we are commencing a new laboratory services contract, because we were using a water affairs contract up until last year, but that has expired, and we have to enter into our own contract now, which is currently being tendered as we speak. And we are commencing with an acid mine drainage survey in our area to look at all of the possible sources, not just of acid mine drainage, but of pollution in our catchment, after which we will then move on to develop a plan to manage and mitigate that. But the first step is the survey. This is after request from Water Affairs to assist them to do this. Pollution, we want to respond to 100% of pollution incidences during each year. Compliance monitoring enforcement, we do that to assist Water Affairs for Section 19 and 20, which is pollution, and we expect to continue to do that. And that mandate may expand during the 5 years, depending on whether we get more delegations or not to other functions beyond just pollution. We have commenced with water quality authorizations. We are assisting the regional office to do license applications for water quality. We do the grant work, and then we give it to them to handle and approve and then to head office only for water quality at the moment. That may also expand depending on further delegations. And we're finalizing the installation of water meters on the Middle Komati River, which is the most important river that does not have meters at the moment. And after that, we'll prioritize further meters depending on the need. The river health program I mentioned earlier, we'll continue with the revitalization of that and have entered into memorandums of understanding and agreements with Mpumalanga Park Board and the South African National Parks in this regard to assist with their budgets and to co-fund the monitoring of the rivers for the river health program. And international relations, we would like to continue playing a meaningful role in the transboundary issues in Mozambique and Swaziland, to partake in the REMCO committee between the three institutions, like I mentioned before, and the Water Commission and Transboundary Technical Committee, PRIMA programs and COBWA's programs, and all of the associated task teams and forums where we are relevant. Also, with our training agreement with Kuratala, we have some programs that we have entered into with them that we will continue with. The one of importance there is remote sensing or satellite images to assist us in managing the water better. We have just finalized an agreement with them to share knowledge on that aspect. Institution participation is Currently, basically carries on the same as it always has. We need to establish water user associations. It's currently still hampered by the delegations, which do not allow us to establish associations with staff. Water Affairs is being engaged in this to amend those delegations to allow us to appoint water user associations that do employ staff, after which we can move forward with that important process. Carry on with all the forums, and we are establishing and will continue to establish some farmers associations in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture to support the equity issues we prioritize. And we would like to start strengthening our corporate governance responsibilities by starting to evaluate all of their planning documents, IDPs, water service development plans, STPs, so on and so on. Okay. Billing of water users and the corporate finance. This is currently a function that is meant to be done by the CMA, but it's still being done by Water Affairs, the actual billing of the users. There's a process in our strategic plan during the 5-year period to roll that out to the CMA so that we start billing. The first step in that plan is actually to do the verification so that the information of water users and water use is up to date and correct, after which we then start using that information to build and then phase in billing over a 3-year period in conjunction with Water Affairs. There is a task team established to assist with that coordination. You notice the revenue acquired has a significant increase in the current tariff, and that's a process with Water Affairs that we will also have to decide how to handle that. That is only if you were to bill for everything we do, which is not necessarily going to be the case. The rest is standard stuff, sound financial services, sound corporate services, auxiliary services, and organizational services. Just wanted to list a number of the major functions or actual projects that we are commenced already and will be commencing during the year. That's them there. I've mentioned most of them, the CMS, the verification of existing water use, a land cover classification to assist that verification and to assist other projects, updating the farm boundary, which is very poor in our area, 2 technical support contracts for our models and computer models that we use in our operations, installing water meters, installing river flow and data loggers, and maintaining the data acquisition there, including that website I told you about that will go live during this year. That long-winded one there about critical feedback component is actually a 4-year Water Research Commission project looking at giving effect to the ecological reserve that we are partaking in, and we are bio-monitoring the river health program through co-funding through those memorandum agreements. We will have to do the water allocation plan still, which is linked to the classification project of water affairs, the asset mine drainage, laboratory contract, and the groundwater strategy. Budget. Two aspects here in terms of the budget. I've already mentioned the transfer of the billing function to us, so I'm not going to go through that again. The interbasin transfer is an issue that we have to resolve quite urgently with Water Affairs, where currently a lot of water is taken out of our catchment by ESCOM, and the money is paid directly to Water Affairs in Gauteng, and that revenue needs to be earmarked for the Catchment Management Agency for that charge. So that's something that's not happening. It will have to happen, and it's going to happen. The waste discharge charge system is another mechanism for charging the users for water and those who are polluting. Basically, the polluter pays principle that hasn't been implemented yet, and we would like it to be implemented in our area during this strategic planning period, because it will assist in spreading the charges over more users than just those who are abstracting at the moment. The budget. You'll see for 2012-13, the budget is about 51 million there, going up to 54, 57, 60, 63, which is just a CPIX. Improvement that we're only asking next year is for a total of 38 million. The reason for that is there's 3 reasons for that. Number one is that there was a variant from the previous year that was already transferred by Water Affairs over and above what we asked, erroneously, of 5.7 million. So we're not asking for that again. It's already been transferred, basically. So that can be taken off, as well as some project commitments and funds unspent during the previous year that we've taken off because we've already committed those and that we have the budget for those in our savings, but we do not need to be given it. On top of that, at the bottom, you'll see it says DWARO, which is the regional office. That's budget you expect to be given from the regional office when the transfer of staff is finalized. So it's actual salaries as well as goods and services related to those staff or the functions that they will have to do. We still expect that to happen during this financial year, so that's why it's in there. You'll see that the percentages, to give you an idea, salaries and wages is about 56%, of which 36% is core function and 20% is support staff. The goods and services are 44% of the budget. General expenses, including all the projects, is 34%. On the next page, you'll see the split per division. So governance is 7%, office of the CEO 7%, corporate finance 18%. Institutions and participation division about 11%, water use 28%, water resource planning 17%, and general expenses 9%. At the bottom of the slide there, you can also see an indication of an estimation of the subtotal for core function related budget and support related. 61% of our budget is directly related to our core functions, and 30% is related to support functions. That includes staff costs that are actually doing core function and work is included in that, not just projects and goods and services. I'm not really going to go through this in too much detail, but it's just also here for your information because it's in our strategic plan, is that we have to supply the main risk areas and the key risks and the steps to mitigate. So the blue is the main risk areas, the green is the key risks under those areas, and the orange is the steps that we have in our plan to mitigate. So we have information management, risks. I don't think maybe to save time, we should not go through this, but the main areas are information management, the organizational risk itself, institutional human resources, and financial viability, operational risks, and business continuity and external environment. You can go through them if you have some questions specifically afterwards. And that's basically the strategic plan quite quickly for you. If you finish off, I'd like to call on the chairperson again to just go through the main challenges that are highlighted in that plan.
Thanks, Nicky. Chairperson, I have a list of challenges. We have the appointment of the CEO. Our CEO since resigned in 2009. We have tried everything by the book to replace, but most unfortunately, we had a moratorium from the minister not to appoint. Initially, we were told that we need to wait for the appointment of the new governing board, but as now since we met with the minister, the indication was that due to the alignment process, because it's likely that the Ecomati case management area will be incorporated with the Ubuntu area, the minister indicated that because in Ubuntu there is a community there, so we need to wait for the incorporation instead that we will be able to appoint a CEO. But then you will agree with me that 3 years is too much of a long period, and we have had our executive managers acting in this position, which actually also affects their smooth running of their division. In terms of the staff transfer, this is a process that is long overdue because we have since signed developed a transfer agreement, but Joa is still yet to sign the agreement. Then on the can, in terms of the National Water Act, the CMA is supposed to be the management institution, which is receiving the water use charges. But the ICMA will only be able to take up this function once the link to the dry worms and living systems are in place and the verification process is complete. On the CMS, as we have already mentioned earlier on, the minister has approved for diabetes for public comment. The delegated functions which were received on the 17th of December 2010, the chief executive has already spoken to this, safe to say that we need to establish the Water User Association. And the other one is that the entire verification of the existing local water use should be delegated from Section 33 and Section 35 of the National Water Act. The last on the list of the challenges is the representation on the Regional Mining and Environmental Committee, who have since written letters that we need to be represented because we believe it's very important for us to sit in this committee because their activities are actually impacting on the activities of the ICMA, who were rejected, but were since lobbied with the minister, who has indicated to us that he will talk to the Regional Mining Environmental Committee. Chairperson, on that note, I would like to thank you for this question for us to present.
Question of clarification, comments, or
No, thank you. I was listening, try to grasp the content of what was presented before us. Yeah. Really, I'm still struggling to get a sense of what is the core business of the entity. Because even in some of the functions, they state the functions of water affairs. Many things, and when you talk about, for instance, they are saying there is a transferred funds from Eskom, but they are paid in Gauteng. You see, there are a lot of things that I get in this report, and of which I cannot even be able to explain to somebody of what is really happening in this report. And also, I got the funding which is from the Department of Water Affairs. And if I can ask a question, what is that funding for? Is it for human resource, which is working on what? And the project, is there anything that assists the community that is done by this entity? I just think that is very fundamental. Anything that we get, in fact, any information that we get from any entity, it must benefit the community. It must benefit the country. What are we benefiting out of this entity? Because I'm still struggling. I'm really not getting a sense of what is the real core business of the of this committee. So I'm less than clarified. And also, on the remuneration of members, can you bring back that slide of the remuneration of members? Where Chairperson, they are talking about 800,000. 2011 is 800,000. 2010, I'm talking about governing board staff. In 2010, they were getting 625. They jumped up to 800,000. How did they come about to that particular salary in 2011? Such a huge gap. At how much did they increase that salary? Really, it's still giving more questions chapter 7. I should think I must be clarified on that.
Thank you, Chair. We'll start firstly on what we do, our main function. I had put up on the screen the legislative mandate, which sort of summarizes our main function. We're basically a water resources management agency. We manage water resources. So we're basically there to ensure that the rivers are properly, the water is properly allocated and operated in the river so that everybody gets their fair share. A large part of that is the equity side of it, but there's a lot of factors in it. So if you look at Section 80 of the Act, which is our initial function, it talks about preventing and remedying pollution. So we have to manage all pollution sources, monitor all pollution sources to make sure that they are within the guidelines of government. Any emergency incidences related to that, we have to manage those incidences and clean them up as well. We are allowed to, at the moment, transfer water rights or water existing water authorizations between users on a temporary basis. The main function on a permanent basis still resides with water affairs. We can do the management of existing users on a temporary basis, moving water from one person to the other. We're also allowed to appoint people to do inspections on all of those users to ensure that they are compliant with their authorizations. In addition to that, and one of the key functions that we do is manage, monitor, conserve, protect the water resources and to implement the catchment management strategy. That involves making rules to regulate water use, so that's the operating rules that I've mentioned. A lot of the operating rules basically means these are the conditions under which you can take your water. This is when we will restrict you. This is how we will restrict you, how much we will restrict you by. This is how we will release water from the dam for you. So that's regulating the existing situation, all existing users. We have water, we go through droughts, we go through floods. We have to manage those situations so that we can get through them and everybody has their fair share. So it's all about managing the users and the flow in the river to make sure that they get their fair share. We have to, as part of that, verify all existing users and whether they are lawful or not. When the new act came into being, there were a lot of users who were uncontrolled. Only certain areas in the country were actually declared controlled areas, and the rest of the country was uncontrolled. The new Act brought control over the entire country and all water users, and that required the verification of whatever those people were using, how much they were using, and whether it was lawful or not. The final step of our responsibilities is taking all of that information into a plan that allocates water and reallocates water to the that water allocation plan has a number of criteria. The main criteria is obviously equity. So that we have to reallocate water to ensure that the system is equitable and sustainable into the future, that we're not giving out too much water and that we're giving what we are giving out to the right people in the right amount. You asked whether we are benefiting the communities. And you asked about equity. Our institution and participation division is very active in finding out all the stakeholders in the communities and the resource poor farmers in the areas and engaging them in forums and assisting in improving their knowledge of the situation and understanding of how water works, because it is quite a complicated field. So we have ongoing forums where we engage with those sectors of the population, as well as all existing users. We also have an equity working group that they've established with the assistance of people from the University of Witwatersrand, where we are looking, through that working group, at how those people can get access to water, how we can assist resource poor farmers in applying for funding, how applying for authorization. It's all controlled through an equity working group. The verification process at the moment includes the requirements by the consultant to give us information on exactly who are the various users, who are the resource performers already, how much of the land has been transferred through the land reclaim and land reform process, who are commercial farmers, so all the various sectors. That process will help us to also identify that so we get a good information of what is the current status of equity feeding into our plan so that we can know properly how to deal with it. Maybe I just need to be refreshed about the funding, the question about the funding from Water Affairs. At the moment, we get all of our budget comes directly from Water Affairs because they are collecting the revenue on our behalf. We're supposed to do it, but they collect it on our behalf. So we get our funding as a revenue transfer from Water Affairs, from their budget. It's supposed to come twice a year. It has been doing that for the last 2 years, and then we use that to perform the function. I'm going to ask our CFO to talk to the question on the governing board stipends.
Maybe let me talk to that.
Okay, then Chairperson can
talk. Yeah, I think before I come to the governing board. Yes, but it has got nothing to do with the current board. Chairperson, maybe I might have to start with the formalization of the governing board. Currently, the reason why this is simply because the minister has decided to add the number of the governing board members who are sitting in the board. And we are currently, we were 14, and then the others were sitting there. But in the new structure, the minister has decided to come up with 18 governing board members, and the number, and the gap has widened. And I believe Mems Kwaza will also numbers here. It's not our making as a board, but it comes from the minister's side. The other issue which I'd like to add on is the conflict benefit. Because our co-function, one of our co-functions, is actually to advise. We also advise the local government in the municipality. And in terms of it, through our institutions and participation, what we are doing is to assist the municipalities as they draw up their water development plans, which actually inform the IDP. And in that manner, that is how the community also benefits. But also, one thing that I believe needs to be said in this House, Honorable Chair, is the fact that the water resource management is in any way a new concept in our country. That's why it's understandable if it's difficult to understand the rule that is being played. And the function of advising, I think we are doing a good job because when you look at the upcoming, the emerging farmers, the emerging farmers actually did not benefit to the
I'm very interested to know what the trends are in your catchment management area with regards to the quality of the raw water, considering the various pressures on water courses. If you could give us some comments on that. Then, secondly, in terms of compliance and enforcement, which is one of your mandates, to what extent are you able to perform that effectively? Do you have enough
Thank you. In terms of the trend of the water quality in our area, we are picking up decreasing trends at the moment. In the Nkomati, we are not, the quality is generally not an issue as it is in some of the other catchments, but it is certainly reaching pretty much in all, most of our parameters. It's reaching a situation now where it can't get worse, and it is still on a decreasing trend. That's why we have started this also, this acid mine drainage and pollution sources survey to start understanding where all the pollution sources are, and actually also reviewing the monitoring sites that we have taken over from WaterFed to look at improving the density of monitoring sites and actually directly monitoring users themselves and their discharges as opposed to just the river systems. So that process is in our strategic plan to look at it, because the trend is negative and the trend is starting to become a cause for concern. So that's how we plan to deal with that. The compliance and enforcement. We, at the moment, as I mentioned, we can only do compliance and enforcement on water quality related issues, not on extraction. And in terms of that, we probably have tripled the number of staff over the last 18 months, 12 months to handle these functions. And during the 2011-12 financial year, started handling our first directives and cases and issues. We've got detailed reports on that we provide in our quarterly report. But to summarize, we probably have received about somewhere in the teens, about 12 cases that we've been dealing with, and of those, about 80% of them have been resolved fairly well, where things like a manhole cover in a municipality wasn't working and it's just spilling raw sewage into the river, and it's just a matter of them fixing it, and we told them to, and they did. Some of the other cases are still ongoing. The main one at the moment, is probably know about, is the Carolina issue. We're very actively involved in there. We've actually got 32 new sites, monitoring sites we've installed there. We've issued pre-directive processes on four of the mines in the area, the main mine, to get information, all of the information from them, which we are waiting for. That information, that's already indicating where the main issues are coming from, and once we've got that information gathered, which we're obviously doing now, we'll then have to look at the process of moving forward with directives and even further prosecution if necessary, but we don't have all the information yet. And we're obviously also doing this in conjunction with other departments, mainly Water Affairs and Role Play. So we are playing the role of gathering information, setting up the monitoring. There are certain, generally we don't have to go beyond the pre-directive with most of the situations that are sorted out. We've got one case where we are busy deciding whether we're going to go and sort the problem ourselves with our own money, because we do have the legislative power sort out an issue ourselves and then bill those users afterwards. There is a municipality whose pipeline across the river is broken during the floods in January. Still hasn't been fixed, even though funds have been made, put forward by the district municipality for that. Still not fixed, so we are busy deciding whether we're going to go and do that ourselves and bill them. Generally about an 80% of all the cases we've handled and are finalized, we've got about 3 or 4 pending.
Chairperson, can I say something while Pakavani is leaving? I'm the chairperson of the board. Thank you very much. I think you would like me to keep it short. My chairperson, members of the portfolio committee, guests here, allow me to express out my governing board's word of gratitude and appreciation for our Breerenveld Overberg Cattle Management Agency, currently known as Bokmak. It is important we use the word, only Bokmak, to be invited and allowed to be addressed to this committee. Then I'll leave out a lot of things, but there's a few things I would like to say, and that is, since our inception in October 2007, we have been working tirelessly in the implementation and I'm going to do that right now. Obviously, in the implementation of the responsibilities of the National Water Act. There were challenges. We did manage to rise above the challenges. However, we still feel that more needs to be done for the CMAs to function effectively and efficiently. That's very important. So, for example, access to the department's IT system, the WOMS is key to us to take decisions, and if, even if where we are doing the VNV at this stage. We are hoping that we shall jointly fast-track that with the department, as the minister has already approved it. Secondly, we need to receive our allocations in time so that service delivery not hampered. In short, I am saying that we are here to add value to the department as well as strengthening the service delivery clarion call of our minister. We need all tools to be at par with the requirements and expectations of the people at the ground level. Going to do the CEO, sir, we've got the CEO here, Kokomani Buthelezi, who rejoined us in March of this year. He will do the presentation that despite our challenges, Bokma managed to climb the mountain. In order to reach the top of the mountain, we need everybody's support, and we request this committee to walk the journey with us, please. And then on my left-hand side here, we've got Danny von Staden. He was acting while we didn't have a CEO. He's our senior manager of water resources, and Zanella Mungoma, the CFO. Also a lady, and we're very glad that I see all the ladies are doing that type of job in this country. It's very, very grand to do that. So then I would like to say that Pakamani will now continue with the input and. Again, I would like, just before I stop saying anything further, and I don't think I'll have to say anything at the end, because I'll play it by ear, but I again would like, last year, like to invite you to our area. Come and visit. We're not that far. We haven't got an airport that big enough to meet you there. But still, take a car for a short distance and come and visit us. You know, we've got very... Because we've got working with a scarce commodity, we've got very dry, nice dry wine in the bush. Come and enjoy it. Come and visit us and we'll let you enjoy that. Yeah, we can always help if you want some whiskey, but we do it like the Romans do. But we do will appreciate you to come and visit us as a committee. Mr. Goodlady.
Thank you very much. I think in continuation with the introduction made by the chairperson, the Breda Overberg Catchment Management Agency, which is BOCMA, is here to implement government policy to ensure that water resource management in this country, or rather in our area of responsibility or jurisdiction, is well managed. Hence, we see ourselves as an extension of our parent department, which is the Department of Water Affairs. My presentation layout would be as follows. My role, since the chairperson said I'm newly appointed, is to present. And when there are questions, managers will answer those questions. that's the layout of my presentation, which I will follow briefly. I think the background is, I think members, Honorable Chair, you heard from my colleague from Ikomasi that they were the first CMA in the country, which is correct, and then we were the second CMA in the country. And while the first CMA in the Western Cape.
Water Act in 2005. This is the act that we believe is the right act in terms of saying the management of water resources in this country does not reside in government. The local people who are directly affected must have a say in the management of their water, not only in terms of management, also in terms of quality. And we think that's a very progressive piece of legislation. Hence, we are here to add value to the workings of the department. And then, since 2005, the board of 11 members was appointed in 2007. At that time, there was no office, there was nothing in place, and we were starting from scratch, starting from the beginning. As my previous colleague mentioned earlier on, the concept of water resource management is relatively new in our system. However, it has been there for years, only new in terms of being pronounced and making sure that it involves the local stakeholders in the ground, on the ground. And then in 2008, the board appointed its CEO. That is when the operational arm of the organization started. We first began with the appointment of key staff, and in terms of the act, we were supposed to do our initial functions, which among other things was the development of the catchment management strategy and also involving the stakeholders and the relevant institutions in the management of water resources. I must say, since that time, the awareness within our own area of jurisdiction has increased drastically. We also involved the school children who are the future leaders. We're also involving our local municipalities. There's a tremendous support which further testifies that it is important to have a structure like the CMA, because it is not only Pretoria that must decide, even the local residents who are directly affected with water resources must have a say. Hence, we've got a structure like the BOCMA. And BOCMA has been doing that one very, very diligently and very, very attentively. And considering the fact that the initial functions were not adequate enough, our Honorable Minister, on the 17th of December 2010, gave us further responsibilities which are called delegated functions. And we combined our initial functions and the delegated functions, and we continue to make a difference for our department and our local level. And perhaps it would be important, just to, for a matter of orientation, just to say where are we all located. As I said earlier on, we're here in the Western Cape. That thing appoints our area of jurisdiction, which is 20,000 square kilometers in terms of size. I'm advised that that size is equivalent to the entire country of Netherlands, so we've got a huge responsibility in managing water. We manage surface water, which is raw water, and groundwater. And I must say, our area is characterized by two systems. There are areas where there's water, there are areas where we reside in underground, we rely on underground water, groundwater rather. This, our area closely, it also shows that we are functionally linked to the economy of Cape Town, considering that most of our water leaves our area to support the people of Cape Town, but not only in terms of that, but also in terms of the agricultural produce, for the province. Most of our agricultural produce, they generate a huge revenue, which improves and increase our GDP, but not only for the Western Cape province, but for the country as a whole. So much like, for example, the table grapes are coming from our area, and these table grapes we'll find in most cases in Europe. Hence, it is important to ensure that the quality, water quality management does not reside with officials, but those who are affected, they have a say, and they also understand why it is important to ensure that water quality is not being compromised. Because if it's being compromised, it simply means the European Union will stop buying these grapes because we are not meeting their standards. Hence, the CMA, in a way, it cultivates the culture of co-responsibility. I think it's something that we have been doing. I think it is important to understand where the CMA, insofar as water resource management is concerned. We do not operate in a vacuum. In our area, we are working with all the relevant water-related institutions and municipalities. And I think yesterday there was a huge function that took place. And in a way, we also play a part in terms of providing advice and ensuring that the whole aspect of water is understood by all of those who are working in it, but also the municipalities are also supported. I think, as I've said earlier on, the essence of government systems to ensure that management of water resources resides with the local people. One of the challenges that we had is to build legitimacy and credibility. And we have been working tirelessly with all the irrigation boards or the water resource associations in our area of responsibility to ensure that we co-manage the water resources, mainly our rivers, mainly the discharges, and mainly the local municipalities when it comes to wastewater treatment plants. We are there, we provide continuous advice, it's something that we have been doing. And of course, big ideas will never be realized if there are financial challenges. There are still some financial challenges. I think some of them our chairperson has already touched upon. And of course, we are not a water-rich area. We do have our water availability challenges. Hence, it is important to ensure that the local communities are involved and they understand what it means to conserve water, what it means to report any leakages, something that we are doing on a daily basis. We are operating from a very beautiful area. We are concerned that our ecosystems are deteriorating, which could also affect our tourism in our area. And importantly, some of the challenges that we have is equity in water use. We believe that we are here to ensure that transformation is accelerated. Those who were denied access to water in the past do benefit from this. But more importantly, we need to see interactions between the land reform and water reform. Hence, it's something that we are driving it with passion to ensure that those who don't have water, they do have access to water. And of course, the old song, the current state of water services infrastructure in our area is also a challenge. The same applies to South Africa. These are the things that we normally talk about them on a daily basis when we interact with all our municipalities in our area of responsibility. Perhaps it is important to state that we are driven by our vision, which says quality water for all and forever. And that's the vision that has been at the center of our focus. It's the same vision that we have seen our water associations or all our water users beginning to buy into it, because what it simply says is all of us are responsible for the management of our water resources. And as I said earlier on, we exist to add value to our parent department, Department of Affairs. Hence, our strategic outcomes are directly linked with that of the department. Hence, the number of policies that we have developed in the past few years when we started, and even now, and the number of programs that we have initiated. I mentioned the development of the catchment management strategy is to ensure that there is a symbiotic relationship in what we are doing and what our department is doing, but more importantly, how to make South Africa a better country for all of us. This is driven by our five priority areas. There's water resources planning, water use management, institutional engagement, water allocation reform, resource protection, information system, such support and management and governance to say quality water for all, what it means in terms of making it more real instead of making it an ivory tower. Under our water resource planning, some of the things that we have done in 2010, we finished our catchment management strategy, and that strategy has been presented to our department. It is a blueprint that says how are you going to manage water resources in your area. And we are privileged to say, while we developed that strategy, it wasn't an ivory tower. It wasn't a top-down approach. It was developed by our own water users. We had to make sure that all our water users are involved. It's not only a responsibility of the current commercial farmers or farmers, but everybody. We had to empower those who are coming from disadvantaged communities to ensure that when they participate in equal footing, and they are brave enough to raise issues that touches them. So that when this strategy is finalized and approved, it's something that all of us say, this is what we make a contribution of. And that strategy, hopefully, it will be approved this year so that we can begin implementation. While we're waiting for approval, I must say, we have already started implementing some of the things. Even when we come to our area, there are a number of programs that we have introduced and we have implemented to
area, continues to be the one. Under water resources planning and processes, this is some of the things that we are doing, and some of them will be doing continuously. For example, if there are rezoning applications, most of our local authorities, if we say, in our opinion, we don't think that needs to be done, they listen to us, which means we have a joint capability and acceptance to our area, because we cannot dissociate development from the availability of water resources, of water. Under water use management, we are working tirelessly with our forest department. We participate in the work committee where we keep on providing our input and also facilitating in our area the water use applications and trying to simplify and explain in the language that our water users understand, which makes everything much, 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 much easier, and then hand it over everything to the department. And of course, one of the responsibilities is to continuously market the importance of co-managing water resources in our in our domain, in our area. The number of initiatives that we have been doing, we have regular newsletters which are produced in three languages which are spoken in our area, which is English, Afrikaans, and isiXhosa. And these are talking about the daily things that people understand. Instead of writing academic papers, they understand late. This is why it is important for me to play a role. We participated in initiatives like the Water Week, where we involved school children in a way trying to cultivate the same concept of co-managing water resources. I'm not going to say everything there. Institutional cooperation, and of course, we have partnerships with countries like the Netherlands, who have been in this game before us. We sign MOUs, and we are currently establishing more partnerships with various and interested parties. And that, as I said, underwater allocation reform is something that we firmly believe in it. We believe that access to water, mainly to support government programs insofar as the land reform is concerned, from our poor resource farmers is achieved. We've got programs that we meet, like, for example, we have regular meetings with groups, consist of women forums, and so on and so forth, so that we continuously make sense of our systems, but not of our systems, but to improve service delivery, because we exist to add value and to improve service delivery on the ground. We continuously monitor quality of our water in our area. We have entered into agreements with the laboratories where our samples are sent to for analyzing and so on and so forth, which also adds value in terms of our. And this one is very, very important. It's very clear that our function, and for us as a postmodern organization, IT is key. Hence, we have invested heavily. But that investment would remain in vain if we do not have access to WOMS, which is currently in the Department of Water Affairs, and various water-related IT systems. I think it's something that we needed to finalize for us to continue to be of value to the department. And we're glad that we have regular meetings so that we finalize it. But meetings must come up with conclusion as soon as possible so that we meet our requirements. And of course, we've got certain support, which is finance. I think finance is to ensure that there's proper financial management system in our organization, something that we're doing. And we've developed a number of policies. I think I'm not going to go to all of them. Suffice to say, there's so much that we've developed in terms of policies, in terms of systems, and also ensuring that we appoint appropriate people, appropriate skills, and to manage our financial resources. The same applies to our human resources. We are a staff complement as a new and growing organization. We are a staff complement of 23 personnel. 10 of those are African in terms of our racial classification, are African, 7 of those are colored, and 6 of those are white population. And in terms of gender, our organization is 13 women, which is largely women, 10 men, and 1 disability. I think it's important to mention those so that you understand that we are fully behind changes that are taking place within our sector. This one is not so much important as just a jump. I think in terms of the risk management, we looked at our organization, we realized that we've got insufficient human resources and skill capacity, hence we formed partnerships with countries like the Netherlands to exchange programs where our own staff go overseas and their staff come here, and in that process we exchange information but capacitate our staff. And we are also involved in the processing of licenses. The challenge, of course, is our ability to enforce compliance with local government. Hence, we rely heavily in strategic partnership with municipalities. In this one, I'll skip this one. This one, I'll skip. So, I think what is important, the one I want to talk on is the lack of capacity to verify existing accounts. We think that functions must be added to us as a matter of agency, as BOKMA, and because we have a close interaction and close relations with our users, we believe that we can handle that the billing system much better than. But we are not saying it's because it's not been doing a good job, but it has been doing a good job. But if we take it over, we'll add more value since we are at the court phase of the DFR. The other challenge that we have, we do not have a signed MOU. Hopefully it will be signed. This has been going for quite some time. And we also need to invest a lot in our board members, because most of them and all of them are coming from stakeholder representation, which may not necessarily translate itself into skills. Hence, there have been continuous training that has been taking place. This is the breakdown of expenditure budget per unit. That is for, I think that's for this current financial year, which is 19.14 billion, which is arranged in terms of our problematic areas. It suffice to say, one of the intentions for us, we need to develop a methodological approach to ensure that we do contribute somehow in our legal way towards reducing unemployment in this country through our programs that we have. We have identified a number of partners that we can collaborate with so that we add value and also contribute towards unemployment in our area. I think in terms of the budget split for 2012, 3.8% goes to our board costs and 20% management and governance, 54.7 staff costs, but this figure will decrease as soon as we've got full delegation from our department. Hence, it is important to finalize this delegation. So, we've got full delegation. We do almost everything. We believe that we can do everything that we should. Now, I'm going to touch on this presentation on annual financial statements for the year ended 31 March 2012. It suffices to say, since our establishment in 2009, we have been receiving unqualified audit opinions, which means there is a goodwill and commitment from our staff to have systems that are working. And this is something that we shall continue to do, and we think even in this year we'll achieve the same. This is the revenue, mainly coming from our main department. It shows a comparison from 2009-10 to 2010-11, and also shows that in the year we ended up with the rollover surplus of 4.3 million. But if there are any questions on this, the CFO and the folks and Mr. Yan Fasade will answer, because I'm here to just to present and keep quiet after. Then it shows our non-current assets and the current assets, and then it also shows the total assets and liabilities. The balance, this is not so much, I think maybe what could be an interest, this is the salary that we paid our senior manager in the year ended 31 March 2011, and also it shows that board meeting stipend for our board members. It is in two ways. If it's a full board meeting, we pay 3,400 to the city, and if it's a subcommittee meeting, we pay 2,400. We've got three committees at the moment: Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, Technical Committee, and Audit and Finance Committee. So our budget is well under control, is well managed. think, Chair, I tried to be mindful of your time constraints, and I hope I managed to assist you in terms of managing time. So now we are ready for questions, not grilling, questions. No, no, it's a lighter note.
How many members attended for the reason, how many times? because you said for the UAD, the board meeting cost is about 3.8% for your total budget. So I'd like to know, your total budget is 3.5% cost of your board meeting. And you got three subcommittee meetings. You must also allocate for the details with all the director board members, which time and how many times you attended the meeting. So this one is other committee, other order board is made very clear. So we can see is you got a 6 board member, 10 board member, then how many times they attend. Someone they only attend one time. Yeah, so this one I think I'd like to get a little detail because this one is cost 3.8% by your total budget. I'd like to know how much is the use tax.
Apart from what one has been employed to do, what is it that qualifies one for a bonus? Secondly, I see your percentage here, they vary very much. Staff cost 54%. Professional services is 20%. How possible? Because I understand that this professional services are the services that you will exist on the basis of being those services. But why now you are such a small percentage goes to it and the staff cost at 54% of your budget? What is it that makes them to vary so much?
Okay. Yes, thank you. Let me start with the easier ones, and then most of the questions I'll give to our managers to ask. I mean, what are the management and finance? No, the bonus, I wasn't around. I would have qualified for the bonus. Depending on the assessment, of course. I think the bonus is not an automatic thing. You should have done something extraordinary. There are policies in place that assess each and every employee's bonus, and it's based on the criteria that has been set, and it's based on the assessment. And then if you qualify, you get a bonus. If you don't qualify, you don't get a bonus. It's not automatic. You should have done something extraordinary to qualify. I mean, like, for example, if you are given a task. You need to produce, as an example, you need to produce 3 reports. Or you go and extra produce 10. You have exceeded the expectation. It is based on the performance agreement with that particular employee. But if you exceed the expectation and it's based on the policy that we have implemented in place, as I said, it's not automatic that you get a bonus. Not everyone gets a bonus. It is based on extraordinary results that you have achieved. Yeah. And then on local government, I think it's important to mention that we work very well with SALGA, which is an umbrella body for all our local authorities, and we've got agreements with them. Hence, some of the things we discuss with them, and so that we improve the management of water in our area. Then I would like other questions in relation to storage, licenses, quality, and to be handled by my managers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Okay, there's still one outstanding item on the bonuses. I just want to quickly comment on that. The salary structure of the BOKMA is directly linked to the salary structure of that of government. So normally you get an 8 to 12% bonus every year. your work plan performance. And our case, I mean, because it's linked to salary, we've got different salary levels in the ballpark. That's why the bonuses are not the same for everyone. Normally for the senior manager is higher because the salary package is also higher when you work 8% or 12% from the salary. When I come to the infrastructure issues for the municipality, in the Bokma area we've got 7 local authorities. We did a very good study of the available infrastructure of our municipality, especially on the side of the water treatment. So what we do, we engage constantly with municipalities to sensitize them when there is overcapacity or when it's already overcapacitated, to put plans in place to improve the current infrastructure. We've got a very good relationship in the Bokma area, and I can say where we experienced problems in the past with, for example, water treatment works, all the municipalities are in the process now to upgrade or have upgraded already. Because the power of community involvement where the municipalities are also involved, that is the function of the Bokma, is so important, because when you blame and shame and the community is looking at the municipality and everybody is aware what is the quality of our water and water resources, it seems to me that municipalities are coming quicker to the table to sort out issues. But the issue of the water storage capacity, that's important for the Bokma area, because just for general information, if you don't know it already, we are sitting in a winter rainfall area, so the water is mostly available between April and the end of August, so you need to store the water to use it later on in the summer months. So the role that the Bokma is playing, because we are not developing dams, we are not developing infrastructure, but we play the role in the water resources management. Remember to issue a license to speed up that process. It's important to get storage facilities in place, and that's where the Bokma is playing a role. And we also sensitize our water users and also potential water users that they must look and consider to store water to use it in the future to fuel our agricultural growth in our area. So we play a very active role in that process, and also when the license is coming to the table, to speed up that process. The same applies for the municipality also. And regarding to the backlog, I will just explain this one also. In the Western Cape, there are 4 water management areas. So the Bokma is one of them. Currently, the delegation to sign off licenses is still lying with our mother department, the Department of Water Affairs. But that department doesn't have any operational staff anymore in the Bokma area. So we are doing all the running around and process the license application, and then the Department of Water Affairs is still signing it off. We want to actually, like the CEO said before, we want that delegation because we believe that we can speed up the process. But if I can gauge with life, I think the backlog is about, I will say, between 20 and 30. But most of the time it's not because of a lack of skilled personnel. It's mostly the outstanding information that must still come from the applicant, and that is holding up the processes. If I can come to the water quality, the Bokma is an agricultural water management area. Our economy is mostly based on irrigation. So we are very much concerned about bacteriological pollution and also nutrients. Because we are an agricultural water management area, there's about 1 or 2 industrial discharge into our rivers. So there's not a lot of direct discharge into our rivers, except those from municipalities. Right? When you talk about the trend, you can also check, we've got on our website now, we publish all the results of our water resources. But the trends, there's no real trend. It's like spikes up and down. When you get incidents coming from municipalities or storm rain, etc., you can pick up, there's an increase in a nutrients and bacteriological pollution, but you cannot say it's increasing over time. So it's still a good sign, but where we pick up hotspots, we monitor more, and then we try to find out where are the sources coming from and actively engage with the places that are causing the pollution. Because in our area, there's also places that are not serviced, and when it rains, there's runoff, those pollutants are coming to our water resources. So we play also a role to sensitize, to put pressure on the different spheres of government to service different local communities that are in the need, because that will help eventually our water resources. Because if the farmers cannot irrigate, I mean, it's almost 50% of the economy down the drain in the Bokma area.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to answer on the 75% increase in our operational expenditure. Bokma is a growing company. Like, for instance, the first staff members were appointed in 2009, besides the CEO. The first staff member was appointed in 2009. So in the year 10-11, we appointed a lot of staff in order for us to operate. So 75% is caused by appointing more staff, buying furniture, buying equipment, and all of that, so that we can work in a formal environment. So, and then another question is about the board members' stipend. In that year that we were presenting, we had about five board members meeting. It's supposed to be four, they are sitting quarterly, but the one was for a special meeting in order to approve the financial statement. So as the CEO indicated that each member has been paid 3.4 and 2.4. That year it was 3,000 for the board and 2.2 for the subcommittees. So this 3.4 and 2.4 is this year of 11-12. But the year that we are presenting, it was 3,000, which increased to 3.4, and then for subcommittee 2.2, which increased to 2.4. And then also another question is about the staff cost. Why is it too high? It's 54%. Like, for instance, as I mentioned before, that Bokma is a growing company. Up until we meet our destination in appointing staff and in buying equipment, that will change. Like, for instance, most of our concern now is to make Bokma to be stable in terms of appointing good employees. Like, as we mentioned before, that we are not fully operational. Some of the delegations, we are not implementing it yet. So up until we implemented them, and then the status will change in terms of percentages focusing on the operational expenditure. Thank you.
Chairperson, thanks for the opportunity. As I have said, we'll take forward the issues during the presentation. The issues were mentioned as outstanding from the department side. Our team has noted this and we'll follow up on those. As I've also said in the introduction, the minister approved denying CMAs. So these two CMAs will play an important role, firstly to extend their areas to become bigger, and secondly also to help us to develop plans for the others, because they've learned the hard way. We want to learn from their experience. And lastly, the minister launched the Blue Drop report yesterday for drinking water quality.